Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling. So glad that you joined us for the program today. We're going to start a brand new segment here on the Knowing the Truth radio program, a segment that we've entitled The Master's Minutes. And the Master's Minutes each Wednesday on the Knowing the Truth radio program will be sponsored by The Master's College. Their website is www.masters.edu. That's www.masters.edu. And The Master's College, their subtitle says, For Christ in Scripture. It's under the leadership of President Dr. John MacArthur, and the Master's College then provides quality education both on campus and through their online distance education program. We're going to be having a rotating list of professors that are going to be joining us each week in order to talk about various subjects under their expertise. And we're going to start off the program here today with Dr. Grant Horner is our first guest. And I wanted to talk with Dr. Horner about something that he's very well known for. I was reading a little bit about Dr. Horner, and I found this. It says this. If you do a Google search for the Master College Professor Grant Horner's Bible Reading System, you will, depending on the phrasing that you use, land between 50,000 and 500,000 hits. In the years since, the longtime English professor posted the system onto his Facebook profile as a one-page PDF file, it has made its way into believers' hands and into their Bibles in countries all over the world. Well, that's what I wanted to talk with Professor Horner about today. I wanted to talk about what's titled now Professor Grant Horner's Bible Reading System. It just seems to be extremely popular, especially out on the internet. If you do a search for his name, you'll see how popular it is. It'll pop up on that many websites and so forth. So I wanted to talk with him about this subject and about what it's about, how to implement this reading program and so forth. Let me tell you a little bit about Professor Grant Horner. His academic specialty is in literature, theology, and philosophy of the Renaissance and the Reformation, with a primary concentration in Milton, that's John Milton, and Shakespeare, Erasmus, Luther, Calvin, and the late 16th and 17th century poetry and prose. He's also he's an associate professor at the Master's College, which is located north of Los Angeles. Dr. Horner, it's a pleasure to have you back on the Knowing the Truth radio program.
Thanks for having me back, Pastor Kevin. It's great to talk to you again.
I think it's a great start to our new segment here on the program to have you on. I think I had the privilege of speaking to you before about your book about the movies and about discernment and having discernment in the movies. And I'm hoping that as we move forward with this program, we'll be able to have some discussion about that book as well. But tell us a little bit about this this Bible reading system and how you got started with this.
Yeah, well, you know, it's quite a story because several years ago, I just got a little bit tired of students coming up to me after class saying, hey, I hear you've got this system for reading the Bible that has really helped you over the years and that you have a little handout on it. Could you print one out for me? So I'd go print one off and hand it to them. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, you know what, I'm just going to make a copy of it and put it up on my Facebook page. That way it'll save me a little bit of work because I try to be efficient with my time. And within 2 or 3 hours, hundreds and hundreds of people on Facebook had copied it onto their page, and within a day, it was on thousands of people's Facebook pages all over the country. Within a week, it was all over the world, and I just couldn't believe it. It got picked up by a number of different well-known Christian leaders. Tim Challies got probably just about the number one Christian website and blog in the English language, and he picked up on it and began to promote it, and it's just kind of gone all over the world. I get emails from people in every continent, all kinds of countries. Sometimes they're in broken English. I got one a while back. One of my favorite stories is a guy emailed me from Asyut, Egypt, right along the Nile River, and he said, I was raised Muslim. I became a Christian recently. I'm trying to learn how to read the Bible. I went on to Google. I found your name, and I started doing your system last month, and it's completely changed my life, and I want to share it with everybody. What should I do? And I said, translate it into Arabic. The system is now, it's very simple. It's been translated into Russian, all the European languages. It's down in South America in Spanish and Portuguese. It's all over Africa. I've gotten emails from people who have to walk several hours to get to an internet cafe in West Africa in order to tell me that the Bible reading system is going through their little village out there in the bush.
That's remarkable.
It actually started about 32 years ago when I was a brand new Christian. I had been saved out of drug culture. I was a very, very heavy drug user and was actually involved in selling drugs. If I'd have been caught selling LSD and speed back then instead of being saved by Jesus, I would maybe just now be getting out of jail. And instead, I've got a wife and a beautiful family and a wonderful job where I'm able to serve the Lord. But when I became a brand new Christian, I didn't know anything about the Bible. I knew almost nothing about Christianity. And so I picked up the Bible and I started to read it, and I got saved, and I kept trying to read the Bible. And I frankly found it really, really difficult. It didn't seem to make sense. It didn't work like other books. And so someone told me about how you could divide the Bible into genres, because different books of the Bible work differently. Proverbs is not the same as 2 Corinthians, and 1 Kings and Chronicles are similar, but they're different from Exodus, and nothing is quite like Revelation or Ecclesiastes. So what I've done is I've got the Bible divided into 10 different genre lists. There's a gospel list. It's called List 1, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then there is a Pentateuch list. That's List 2, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Then I've got a list of some of the New Testament letters. Then I've got some Old Testament history. Then I've got the wisdom literature. One of the lists, List number 6, is the Psalms. List number 7 is the book of Proverbs, and so on and so forth. The Bible is divided more or less by type of book into 10 different lists. And what you do is on the first day of your system, and one of the best things about this Bible reading system is that it's not too systematic. It's not tied to a calendar. Every time I tried to do a calendar system, I'd miss a day or two or a week, feel guilty, and then drop the whole thing. That's what the devil wants you to do. Yeah. It is not what Jesus wants you to do. My system is not tied to a calendar. So the first day that you start it, you read Matthew chapter 1, Genesis chapter 1, and then on list 3 you read Romans chapter 1, on list 4 you read 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. So you read the first chapter of whatever book comes on those lists, and you read through the 10 lists. So you read 10 chapters a day. Now, most people hear that and like, 10 chapters a day? I can hardly do one chapter a day. But here's the problem with the American church. The reason that there's so much sin, there's so little repentance, we're not having revival, and why the people are becoming, the people who name the name of Christ look more like the culture than they look like Christ, is because we don't know our Bibles nearly well enough. We do not.
That's
and
so
we're
true.
Going by on a diet of water and saltine crackers instead of the marvelous banquet of the whole counsel of God that we should be taking every day.
Amen.
What happens is when people start doing this system, the first week, maybe the first month, it's tough. You have to discipline yourself. You might have to turn off your TV. You might not have as much time to do some other things you want to do. But most people find that they can read the 10 chapters between 30 and 45 minutes if you do it the way I recommend it, which is not studying and meditating reading. It's just moving through the text and absorbing it. You get through those 10 chapters. At the end of a month, you've read 300 chapters of Scripture from all the different parts of the Bible.
Wow.
So all the different parts of the Bible start to comment on each other. On an average day, you might be reading Luke 11 and Hebrews 5 and Philemon, and you also might be reading the sixth chapter of the Song of Solomon and Psalm 47 and Proverbs chapter 11 and Judges chapter 5. And all these parts of Scripture, which have human authors, about 40 human authors, but one divine author, they all start to kind of talk among themselves, and you see God's sovereign hand throughout all of human history.
Amen. What a great way to fulfill the concept of comparing Scripture with Scripture, because you're reading in different segments. I want to talk to you more about that in just a second, but I want to ask you about an interesting event that took place as you started this program, specifically as you were coming to the Master's College. But let me remind our listening audience that we're speaking with Professor Grant Horner, and we're speaking with, he's a professor at the Master's College, and we're speaking with him about Professor Grant Horner's Bible reading system. The Master's College, by the way, you can check out all the information about them at their website, which is www.masters.edu. It's even easier, www.masters.edu, and out there you find out all the information about the college located just outside Los Angeles, California. Dr. Horner, I wanted to ask you about an interesting event that happened. You had just finished up your doctoral work at UNC Chapel Hill and Duke, and you were then asked to fly out to the Master's College for an interview, a three-day interview process, and you were ushered into Dr. MacArthur's private study. What took place there? Tell that or recount that story to our listening audience.
Yeah, that was kind of intimidating and exciting all at the same moment, as you might imagine.
Heck
yeah. You know, as a brand new Christian, I would listen to Grace to You on the radio with my brand new wife, and we kind of, you know, I kind of grew up, you know, listening to him and Charles Stanley and Chuck Swindoll and other people on the radio. They were kind of like long distance radio pastors for me.
Mm.
So when I was, you know, preparing to try and wrap up my PhD work in the Renaissance at UNC Chapel Hill, right there in North Carolina, where my parents are actually retired these days. We love North Carolina. It's a beautiful state.
Yes.
My wife and I were invited to come out to the Master's College and to, I was going to teach some classes and be interviewed by the faculty and talk to board members and administrators and so on and so forth. And the final test is that they bring you in to meet John. And John is a, you know, a very intimidating kind of pulpit presence, but in real life, he's just a very gentle, sweet guy, kind of quiet spirited, and just makes you feel right at home. Nonetheless, it's very intimidating because the last step in the process, if everyone else has liked you, is John meets you, and if he gives you a thumb up, you're in, and if he gives you a thumb down, it doesn't matter if everybody else likes you. That's it. And so I'm worried because I'm thinking, okay, I've been trained at UNC Chapel Hill. I've been trained at Duke University. These are wildly liberal, atheist, you know, very highly ranked institutions of higher education. I was a solid believer. I had been for, you know, 15 years, and I knew who and what I was. But I wanted to make sure I could convince them that I had not been liberalized by going to these schools. And so I walk in, and I've got my wife with me. And I've kind of got my Bible in my hands, and I've actually got my hands kind of standing behind my, back. And I just said hello, and I put my hand out and took his hand. And he said, "Well, we're really glad that you're willing to come out and talk to him. It sounds like the faculty and the dean are interested in you." And he said, "I just have one question for you." So I'm thinking, okay, he's going to ask me a brain-busting theological question.
Superlapsarianism,
you know,
yes.
Solve the problem of evil or something like
yeah,
that, you know.
Right.
And he said, "Can I see your Bible?" And my first thought was, oh, no, well, that's the end of this, because I was a desperately poor graduate student with a wife and three kids living on no money. And my Bible, I'd had it for 15 years, and it was literally falling apart. As a result of this system where you're constantly reading and going back and forth, the covers were gone, the spine was gone, there was glue and string and bits of paper hanging out of it. It looked like it'd been through a garbage disposal. And so I kind of sheepishly said, well, here it is. You know, I kind of need to get a new cover on it or something. I don't have enough money to buy one of those little leather bags you carry your Bible in. I had no money at all. And he flipped through it, and he handed it to his wife, Patricia, and he looked at me and he said, "If your Bible is falling apart, you probably aren't." When can you come?
Classic MacArthur type of statement, I would say, huh? For Dr. MacArthur,
yeah.
Really summarizes it there very succinctly. That's a tremendous story. I have had the opportunity to interview in person Dr. MacArthur, and I found him exactly as you described him, very personable and extremely kind and generous in his comments that he made. Let me ask you, in your system, I alluded to this a little bit, but it really does help with the Reformation principle about Scripture in interpreting Scripture. Some people might say, well, wait a second, a system like this is going to be very confusing, and I'm going to be in one chapter in the New Testament, one chapter in the Old Testament at different times, different genres of the Bible and so forth. But that's kind of the beauty of it, right? To give this broad scale contextualizing of both of the Testaments and across biblical genres?
Absolutely, absolutely. One of the things, I mean, you know, I spend my life studying literary texts and theological texts and teaching students how to do proper interpretive work, how to do hermeneutics, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Everything from, you know, contemporary French philosophy all the way back to medieval literature and classical Greek and Roman texts. And one of the things that people need to learn is that there are all different kinds of reading. There's reading a love letter from your husband. There's reading a Valentine's Day card from a friend when you're in fourth grade. There's reading a manual to turn on your VCR and program it. There is reading the Bible in a meditative fashion where you maybe read two verses and just think about it all day long. Then there is intensive study if you're preparing for a sermon or a Bible lesson.
Yes.
There is study of topics, and there is study of how the poetry works, and there's the study of systematic theology. There's all different kinds of ways to read the Bible. What my system does is, instead of zooming in and doing kind of a micro study, I'm going to study what Paul says about the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians, and that's what I'm focusing on. I'm going to spend 3 weeks reading it and studying it, looking at commentaries. What my system does, and it was designed to help new believers, but I've found, and people are finding, that if you've been a believer for 50 years, it works wonderfully this way as well, is that it's kind of like a flyover. It's like flying over from New York to Los Angeles, and you're at 30,000 feet, and you're looking down, and you get a scope of the whole country. It's really green, then it's mountainous, then it gets flat and green, then you get the Mississippi Basin, then you get the Great Plains, which go on and on and on, then you get the Rocky Mountains, then you get Basin Range, all through the Southwest, and then you end up on the Green Coast of California.
Mm.
And what this does is it shows how all the different parts of the Bible fit together, and they say the same thing over and over and over and over again. God is holy. God made man in his image. Man rebelled against God. Man is now fallen and totally depraved, but God offers a way of salvation back if we repent of our sins and cling to him. And what this does is it actually opens up the kinds of the parts of the Bible that if you read them on your own, you're often going to find very difficult, or even, dare I say it, boring, because we can't put it in context. Not too many people will say, well, I'm so excited in my devotions because I'm doing Second Chronicles this week, or, oh, I love Ecclesiastes. It's so uplifting and exciting and fulfilling, or, oh, I read Revelation, understood it. What my system does is it shows how all the different parts of the Bible work together. And just as you said, this is one of the basic principles of the Reformation. The Reformation people, Luther, Calvin, Erasmus, Zwingli, all of these guys had several statements they repeated. Sola fides, faith alone. Sola gratia, grace alone. Sola Christi, Christ alone. And sola scriptura, scripture alone. And another one that's not as well known is scriptura, this is Latin, scriptura interpretans scripturam, which means scripture interpreting scripture. In
mm-hmm.
other words, commentaries are good, but the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
If you know what Proverbs says, then you will understand the stories that Jesus tells in the gospel. If you know what Paul says about the Holy Spirit, then the book of Joshua makes so much more sense, and so on and so forth.
Exactly. We find that to be so true. Just recently in our own studies that we've been doing in our morning worship service at the church that I pastor, Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, we've been going through a study in the book of Hebrews. And once we reached the chapter 13 and we're making some of the concluding comments in that chapter, I then took us over to Romans chapter 9 through 11, which, of course, deals with the idea of the Jews being set aside and the Jewish system being set aside and the Gentiles being brought in. And so I said that although the Apostle, I believe the Apostle Paul in the book of Hebrews, that Paul doesn't address it, all those issues there. He's more focusing in on another point. There are a lot of other questions that come up that he deals with in other epistles, and this would be a great place then for us to look at those things. And it's just remarkable, the continuity between those chapters and what the apostle had spoken about in the book of Hebrews all the way through. So I wholeheartedly agree with that concept that you're putting forth. Let's talk about a little bit about some of the secrets then to the success of doing this, though. There's some pitfalls that people go through, and they have this tendency, I would imagine, that as they're reading through to want to stop then and look up certain words or to get bogged down in certain areas. Your counsel to them seems to be, don't do that. Yeah, get through the text. Don't get bogged down into a deeper study, but remember what the scope of this study is all about, right?
Exactly, right. The very first actual study Bible ever put together in English was the Geneva Bible, which was printed under the leadership of John Calvin. The New Testament in 1557 and the entire Bible in 1560 by a bunch of English Puritans who were exiled from England during the reign of Queen Mary I, the Bloody Mary Queen, who was persecuting Protestants. So they put together the Geneva Bible translation, and they added extensive footnoting from a very Reformed Protestant and pretty Calvinist perspective. And what happens is, in the ensuing, 450 years, we have a proliferation of study Bibles. And study Bibles are wonderful. The one Bible that I've had for coming up on a third of a century now is a 1967 Oxford University Press Schofield study Bible. And I love it. It's got all kinds of notes and helpful things. As helpful as those are, those notes can often distract us from the actual sacred text. Mm. It's also really good to have a Bible with no annotations, no cross-references, just to read through the text, just the text, because nobody gets everything right in their theology, and any study Bible by anybody is going to have some kind of little mistakes or errors here and there, and that's not a huge problem. But the distraction thing is a problem for us, just getting right to the pure Word of God. If you want to drink really good water, you don't go to where a river dumps into the ocean. You want to go as far upstream as you can and get it right out of the spring. And that's also right from the Reformation. Ad fontes, back to the fountains, back to the sources. Go to Scripture. So what I counsel people to do that want to do this system is you have to discipline yourself. Most of us are curious, and we want to intellectualize the Bible. Oh, this reference here, doesn't that connect with something over there? Isn't there something in history? I bet there's a footnote on this. Yeah. There is a time and a place for that, and it's good and it's helpful. But the most important thing is to get through the text.
Hmm.
Work your way through. If you start the system tomorrow and the first thing you read would be Matthew 1, that's a genealogy. Your natural tendency might be, oh, I could look up all those people, or what's this note about Jeconiah here? That will slow you down. The idea is move through the text. You're not doing meditation study. I mean, you're not thinking about it. You're just not stopping and meditating. You're not doing word study. You're not looking things up in a concordance. You're not looking things up in the Treasury of Scripture Knowledge or a Greek-English dictionary or anything like that. Move through the text. Most of us, if we just move through the text at a normal pace of reading and understanding, can read a chapter of the Bible in between 3 and 5 minutes. If you do that, you can get through 10 chapters in 30 minutes to an hour. And the amount of knowledge and understanding that comes just from the text of Scripture will actually help you to better understand the notes if you go back and look at things later.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite people, he taught at Bob Jones for a number of years, came to the Master's College and taught systematic theology there for quite some time. He was a friend and a mentor. He's with the Lord now. Dr. C.W. Smith. We actually have a dorm, biggest dorm on campus, named after him. He's just a fine, classic Southern South Carolina gentleman.
Mm.
And he used to say, isn't it, in his beautiful accent, he used to say, isn't it amazing how much light the Bible sheds on the commentaries?
Yeah.
We get it backwards. We think you go to the commentary for the answers about the Bible.
Exactly.
But in fact, we go to the Bible. It helps us understand people's understanding of the Bible.
You know, you're talking about doing the overview like that and getting the general concept down about what is being said. I actually did this with my own congregation. We did a study of all the New Testament books. I did one week, one sermon each week. on each book of the New Testament scripture. So that, and just to give an overview of the book, and then we went back and studied individual books, Colossians mm-hmm. and so forth, and went down deep then into those books of the Bible in the New Testament. Yeah. And that way it gave people, I put it this way, a place to hang their hat, but a place to organize their thoughts. They get the big picture first and then drill down from there. We just did another interview just a couple weeks ago on why Bible topography matters, dealing with the idea of, you know, readers' Bibles and removing the chapter headings and any sort of obstacle that you would find so that you could read through the text of Scripture as easily and as unobstructive as possible. That might have been of interest right. here. I have to send you the link for that, and you can check out our discussion. One of the teachers over there, Bob Jones, was the fellow who was on the broadcast talking about that issue. Well, Professor Horner, thank you so much for providing this system. I'm going to give folks some information here about where they can get a copy of this, where they can read the notes and find out about how they can. In fact, why don't I let you do that? You have a Facebook page and so forth set up for people to get information. Tell us where they can find the PDF or get some more information about how they can implement this system.
Sure. Yeah, the easiest thing to do is just to go on the internet and do a Google search or an internet search for Professor Horner's Bible Reading System, and you'll get a lot of hits. I mean, I've been interviewed, I don't even know how many times. It's on pastors' blogs. I mean, it's just kind of all over the world in a lot of different languages. And you'll find links all over the internet for the PDF, just the document file that even has little bookmarks that you can cut up and kind of move through your Bible. There are also a number of different applications for both computers and Macs and for all kinds of different smartphones that will allow you to do this on your phone. Personally, I'm an old-fashioned guy. I like my paper Bible, and it has become a best friend. I mean, if you ask me where a particular verse is, I know where it is. I can with my eyes closed, I can flip to my Bible and usually go right to the page and put my finger right where that verse is, because I've read it so many times in this Bible that it's imprinted. And let me tell you, that is helpful. When I go up to preach or to teach or to do some kind of Bible Q&A with 500 or 1,000 people in an audience, I don't really prepare or study other than this extensive cross-reading of the Bible. So if I'm teaching something out of the book of Hebrews, I know where the verses are, and I know where the parallels and the commentary verses are in the rest of the Bible. That's what comes of using a system like this. So if you're starving, if you're going on the saltines in the water, and you want to be, if you want to go in and take your seat at the banquet of the Word, which you've already been invited to, then try this system. It will absolutely revolutionize your life. So you can do it with an application, or you can do it with a PDF. It's very easy to find on the internet.
I'm thinking of the words of Jeremiah where he says, "I found thy words and I did eat them." And
I ate them up, left-hand page, right-hand column, right at the top of the page.
Excellent. Yep. Excellent. Professor,
beautiful verse.
Professor Horner, thank you so much for putting this system together, and thank you so much for taking time out to visit with us today on the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Thanks a lot, Kevin.
You've been listening to an edition of the Master's Minutes, which is a segment that we have here on the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast, which is sponsored by the Master's College. Their website is www.masters.edu. The Master's College is under the leadership of President Dr. John MacArthur, and the Master's College provides quality education both on campus and through their online distance education. For more information, go out to their website at www.masters.edu, and you find out all the information about the Master's College for Christ and Scripture.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
Here's John MacArthur, president of the Master's College.
I think the first distinctive of the Master's College is its commitment to biblical truth, and not in a general sense, but in a very specific sense. That is to say, a very carefully crafted page doctrinal statement that affirms everything we believe the Bible proclaims as foundational to the Christian faith. In fact, there's no tenure. Every faculty member, in order to continue teaching every year, signs that doctrinal statement. We also are unique because we have a desire to relate every discipline, every academic field, every category of teaching and instruction and research to Scripture, to be able to make everything bow to the Word of God. We believe that you live your Christian life every day, 24/7, wherever you are in the world, whatever you are doing. We do not assault the faith. We don't bring in people who give opposing views to Christianity. We defend the faith. We declare the faith. We teach the true Christian faith so that our students have a solid foundation in biblical truth to live their lives. Hey, the world sees us as academically elite. Our accounting graduates in the 98th percentile of national testing. Our science graduates in the high 90 percentile from a scientific standpoint in national testing. 98% of our students who apply to med school are accepted. That's a scientific world. We don't slack in any discipline, but everything bows to the King, and the King has expressed himself through his word.
If you would like to know more about the Master's College for yourself, your children, or your grandchildren, log on to masters.edu. That's masters.edu.